Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the draft lottery. All right, I've got this in my hand. It's my champion.
Wait, hold on.
Comfort.
Oh, I see it now. Okay.
Hand grip. A little nervous. All right, about the draft lottery tonight, seeing where we're going to end up. We're going to talk more about that. Also, I think we've got more than just Ozzie Albies possibly representing our Braves team for this year's All-Star game. We'll talk about it as the Braves get a series underway at home against the Cubs. But, Mike, before we get to the dogs, we were talking with head basketball coach for Atlanta Hawks, Lloyd Pierce, and I appreciate Coach jumping on with us. Asked him about Dennis Schroeder. This just in, Dennis Schroeder says he will talk to the Hawks to decide what's best for him. This, again, off that report that we talked about yesterday where he was overseas, over in Germany, and basically was talking about his plans on meeting with the Hawks owner, Tony Ressler, and general manager, Travis Schlink, along with his agent to get a better understanding of where the team is headed. Now, when that meeting is going to happen, I don't know. But, you know, our head coach just told us, and we'll let you hear it coming up a little bit later, that he already called Dennis. He called all the guys on the team and had a nice conversation with him. The idea that Dennis scrubs his Instagram, he doesn't know what to make of that. As many people, you know, who knows? He said maybe it's a bad day or, you know, he wants to start over. Who knows? But he won't put any stock in that until they have a chance to visit with Dennis. But, you know, I said this, and this is my opinion. No one else has said this with the Hawks organization. But I think ultimately Dennis is not going to be here. That's just my general feeling with the way this is going when you have a player already talking about places he wants to be.
Right, and that gets us into what exactly is Dennis's value out there, and is there a team where he'd be the right fit, and just what do you get for him, and do you get enough if you package that with all these picks you've got in the first and second round, enough to get you two impact players in one draft? Because now you're talking about replacing the point guard, and then everything else is best athlete available early on, I suppose.
Now, we're going to talk about the draft lottery, but I got to ask you this. Because a lot of people around the office, and you guys have heard me talk about Dontich, who is the kid that everyone's talking about from overseas.
Right.
I think he's 19 years old. I don't want to say a phenom, but, you know, he's been playing professionally overseas for a very long time. Travis Schlink, the general manager of our Hawks, really likes him from the standpoint of going overseas to see him play and what he's been able to see him do over there. But, you know, a lot of people think that if the Hawks are able to get one, two, or three, that may be the guy, Mike, that may be the player the Hawks end up with. Not any of the names that we're talking about, like Bagley or, you know, Ayton, none of those guys. Well, maybe it's Dontich.
Here's the thing. He's a shooting guard / small forward. He's 6'6". And there was a really big article ESPN.com did, I guess it was last month, sort of previewing his opportunities and where he's going to, you know, be in the NBA and where he fits. I got the impression from reading the article and then, you know, as much as we've read about all the different athletes coming up, because you and I have gone through, okay, first we like Trae Young, then we like Bagley, then we're talking about DeAndre Ayton. The thing about Doncic, you could argue, Carl, he'd be the most complete guy coming out of the draft immediately at age 19 from playing against a pretty robust competition, playing for the best basketball team in Europe in Real Madrid. But the ceiling is here. And if a guy like Bagley or Ayton or these other guys, they develop in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be a much more impactful player from a long-term standpoint in the NBA.
I know people talk about his playmaking ability. And again, this is a guy that most of you have not had a chance to see. This is just from folks that I know in the NBA and scouts that have said, hey, you really should like this guy, and coaches that have done the film work and seen him. But the one thing that I continue to hear is lack of elite athletic ability. Does that concern you? Does that concern you coming into the NBA?
Now, Arthur can't speak until 4:40, but he is adamant right now going, no, he does not. But again, we know this. Arthur's the guy that ran Dennis Schroeder out of town. He's a xenophobe. You know how he feels about people from Europe.
That is true. But, I mean, listen.
What did Kanye West say? Why does Arthur Trish hate Europeans?
Yeah, but here's the other side of that real quick, and then we're going to get to the dogs. We've seen a ton of guys come into the league with elite athletic ability. And they didn't pan out to be Jack.
Right.
So, I mean
Ricky Rubio is just becoming impactful a decade after being in the NBA, you know, and now for Utah. So, look, Nothing against Doncic.
And what I mean by that, Mike, is guys jumping out of the gym, right. You know, all that athleticism, but they don't turn out to be anything.
For a team like the Celtics where he could be a complimentary piece or somebody else, he's a nice fit. But for us, I mean, we're looking for somebody to have some real juice here in this town. And also, now, I don't know how much this means to the basketball purists out there, but you've also got to get a guy who's transformative in the sense that he's exciting, that people want to go watch him play. You know, and that it's, you know, that's why we joked around about with Trae Young. He's a biracial angel. It wouldn't hurt if you got a guy that's little. It's easily marketed, you know, and English being the first language always helps.
Is Luka Doncic Dirk? I asked this question a month ago.
No, Dirk's transformative. Dirk's a whole different level than this guy.
Then I can't take him. All right, let's
talk
about
this guy's more cool coach than Dirk.
Let's talk about the dogs.
At Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Now you're being anti-European.
I'm just having a hard time. This might be a hard sell for me. But if he can play, he can play. And if the coaches are sold and Travis Link is sold on him, do not be surprised if we end up with one, two, or three that's the guy they go with. By the way, Sam Tarley, a.k.a. Our producer, his name's Brian. We call him Sam Tarley from Game of Thrones because he looks like him. He just said, is he Manu Ginobili? I don't know if he's that either. He is 6'8". He's 220 pounds. Or is he Darko?
Well, Darko Milicic is that's the ultimate. That's the punchline to the joke. You don't want to be that guy because that's the human victory cigar. Remember the only time you'd see him out there? When the game was well in hand or well lost.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the dogs. Not a lot of news going on. A couple of stories that are happening that we're keeping an eye on. You have one of them.
Yeah, there's an article from our good buddy Jeff Santelli. We'll get Jeff on here to kind of recap what's going on in the offseason, although some would say, recruiting season never ends, Carl. But a guy that is considered the number three defensive tackle in the nation, Trayvon Walker. He's got a bunch of offers right now, but obviously he's a major target for the Georgia Bulldogs. And Jeff's got a feature in the AJC and Dog Nation talking about the young man, 6'5", 270. He's a big fella down at Thomaston at Upson Lee. And he's getting calls from Notre Dame and from Miami. But needless to say, Kirby Smart and the dog staff have got him right in the crosshairs.
Interesting.
I mean, that's a perfect size for D-tack. I mean, number of things you could do with him in this D-line.
No doubt about it. And again, they're always adding depth. You never have enough of those guys. This quarterback, Mike, we've been talking about, Joe Burrow.
Ohio State transfer?
Yeah, he made stops at Cincinnati, LSU. This is coming from Rivals.com. His final trip is to North Carolina. And then apparently he's going to make his decision by the end of the week. AT, I know you can't speak. Any word on LSU? Do they have inroads? No? Did they love him? Did they like him? Did he like them? Well, they love him, but we don't know if they love him.
He might like Larry Fedora's
offense. I like this one-way conversation thing, Mike. I'm like, they love him? They like him?
If you're new to the show, producers, again, this is all part of Sean's attempt to take over the radio station. And
it's a coup.
He doesn't let the producers have speaking parts. But Fedora's offense in North Carolina might be a good fit
for this
guy.
Is Jarvis speaking at night, by the way?
No, the ghost of Jarvis. They channel Jarvis in. He doesn't actually get to speak.
Okay, it makes sense. Right.
But anyway, this kid is unfortunately he's gotten older at Ohio State after being a kid with a lot of juice, and now he's been passed on the depth chart, so that's why he's moving out from Columbus.
All right, we'll see where he goes. He's going to make his decision this week.
LSU would be the place to go if you want to play some big boy football, and you know, hey, you'd be a rock star. You might even save old Ed Orgeron's job.
Probably. Hey, information coming about the top AD salaries. What do you think Greg McGarrity gets at Georgia? Couple of million?
Yeah, gotta be, right? What you got?
Greg McGarrity is the 13th highest paid in the conference at $675,000.
Wow. No kidding.
Dollars.
Well, you know what? That's a good value for George, isn't it?
Yeah. Notre Dame's Jack Swarbrick came in as the highest paid AD, over $3 million per year. Alabama's.
Timeout. They always overpay for everything at Notre Dame.
Well, that's true. They overpay for coaches, fire them, and then they overpay again. Alabama's AD making the number 8 spot. He makes $1.2 million a year. Yeah, Greg McGarrity, 13th highest paid in the conference. I only say that to put in perspective. We talk about Kirby and this new extension that he got, you know, the $40 million, $47 million of 7 years, and everybody's like, wow. But really, nobody made a big deal of it because I think people understand what he means.
How much does Greg Martin of Alabama make? He's 8th highest? Okay, that's not bad.
8th? Yeah. All right. Leads the SEC in the 8th spot overall across the country. But $1.22 million.
Now, the reason, what is this guy, what does it have to do with the price of tea in China? How great is your rapport with the alumni base, with the big boosters? What are you getting done? Well, you brought in Kirby. You finally got that indoor facility done, which is a big part of things. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a high-profile men's basketball coach to come in. you know, with Tom Crean.
McGarrity's doing a good job.
And also, and look, we can always argue, and I think some Georgia fans agree with us, some think we're nuts, that we'd like to see a big-time opponent every year on the dog schedule. Mm. After Notre Dame, we go to Patty Cakes this year for UGA. But McGarrity does have his reasoning for that. They did it at Florida under another AD. He was an assistant to Jeremy Foley, and it worked out pretty good for the Gators and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I think McGarrity is on the verge of getting a big raise himself, soon to be, and because of all the things Mike just laid out. And if you're a Georgia fan, there's no reason to be going, oh, AD. The AD's actually done a really good job. And even though, as I've been told, Dukes, it was not solely Greg McGarrity's decision, it was on his watch to move on from Coach Mark Richt. And because of that, he will get credit for that. And, you know, you turn the page and things seem to be better. Hey, man, that's our dog report. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox, guys, 770-901-2500, brightboxelectrical.com. They're a cool ray company, and these guys are money when it comes to that ultimate man cave. We got a Falcons move just about 3 minutes ago, Carl. D. Orlando Ledbetter tweeted out on his account from the AJC. They release reserve running back Terrence McGee to the Falcons. And they pick up a safety, Jason Hall. He played for the Longhorns.
Okay.
Texas boy, Hall, let's see here, one of the 23 players that tried out during that rookie minicamp. 6'2 and 216, 40-yard dash, 4'6. Obviously, Dan Quinn and Marquand Manuel liking what they saw in that small sample size, so they decided to bring him into the brotherhood.
6'2, big safety, right?
Right.
Yeah, the kind of guy.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter has him listed at 316 pounds. I'm going to imagine that's a typo.
Yeah, if not playing safety. 216. So.
Well, that would be something if he's that. But if he's that big running to 4'6, I'd like to see that.
Well, maybe he can play fullback. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
cake, 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 cake. Who doesn't like cake? Mm-hmm. C-A-K-E. Cake is the code word. 72881. Text it right now. Message and data rates do apply. Do not text and drive, but this is your chance to win $1,000.
Cake. It gets texted, guys, to 72881. We've given away a ton of money over the years. We'd like to give you some right now. It's our nationwide signing bonus contest, the word this hour, cake. You text it right now to 72881, or when you can safely text, don't be texting and driving. Cake to 72881, and good luck.
Guy just hit me up, one of our Twitter followers, says, Dukes, Doncic dominated Porzingis in the EuroLeague. Kid is a phenom. Okay.
Doncic is a stud, can average 17 and 6 a day. Works as a 1-3 in any lineup.
AT is a hater. AT just said fake news.
Now, look, I mean, Doncic, this is the problem is, and we've talked about this, okay, there's such a stigma for general managers. It's one thing if you draft a kid out of Kansas or Duke or North Carolina in the top 10, and they bust out.
Yeah, because it's accepted.
Yeah, no one's going to hold you to your feet to the fire on that one. But if you draft a European player anywhere in that top 10 and he doesn't pan out, that bad pick is an albatross around your neck, man, that no one ever lets you forget about. That's why Darko Milicic has become the punchline, you know, the ultimate punchline for bad European picks. But he's the more famous, so there's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah. Ivan says Doncic can be a stud for us. Average 17 and 6.
Mm-hmm. That's what I just gave
you. Oh, I didn't see that text. I'm sorry. I didn't see that tweet. But, yeah, listen, guys, if you're sold on him, the question I'm going to ask you, and this is what you have to be sold on, if we get the number one pick and we've got a chance, all right, tonight with the draft lottery, mm-hmm. there's a 13% chance that our ball pops out. There's a 14.2% chance that we get the number two pick. Are you willing to take him there? Are you willing to take him, as Mike just laid out, over college studs like DeAndre Ayton, who around the country, everybody's like, oh, well, you got to get this guy. He's a seven-footer that affects the game in so many ways. Are you willing to take him over Marvin Bagley or Jaren Jackson at Michigan State, who's also a center at 6'11", you want to go big?
Jaren Jackson's another guy. And, again, we have our buddy Deshaun, who does all our college basketball and a lot of our NBA blogs on 929thegame.com. I mean, if you're a Michigan State fan, you're familiar with his work. But that's another guy we really have not focused on much. We've talked a lot about Trae Young.
Are you willing? See, that's what it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, I'll take Doncic. Are you willing to put your reputation on it like Travis Link is going to have to and say I'm willing to do that because I've seen enough of him. The scouting reports, I've watched him in person. He's going to fit exactly what we're doing. He's going to be a star because that's what you better get if you're picking top five.
Well, do you want him to be the next Nicholas Tishishvili?
Skidishvili? No, he was terrible.
Well, he was a fifth overall pick.
Don't remind me. You know where he went? Houston. Skidishvili was a joke.
Then there was a guy I got a chance to play craps with in Las Vegas, Michael Olowokandi. Nice guy.
Candy man.
He's a nice guy.
He was.
But he was from Nigeria. That's not Europe. Frederick Weiss, Edelweiss. The Knicks took him. That was a mid-round pick. Darko is probably the most famous one. Yeah, man, Ricky Rubio was done special for the last couple of seasons.
You ready to put your reputation on it? It's easy for you to sit here talking to Dukes and Bell going, yeah, go get Doncic.
Now, I mean, if this kid's the next Drazen Petrovic, who was just starting to really come into his own before he was killed in a car accident.
I would it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're not all bums from Europe, okay? You know, Detlef Schrempf.
Why are you naming just like the 1%?
Because that's all I got to choose from.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back. Ozzy Albies.
Whoa, whoa. Hanno Mattala, hello.
Ozzy Albies is balling. But I got more guys on this team that deserve more credit than what they're getting. We'll talk about it as the Braves start a series with the Cubs next. Braves-Cubs tonight over at SunTrust, starting up a three-game set after beating up on the Cubs yesterday in Chicago. That was a makeup game. Lineup's out. Albies leading off. Acuna hitting second. Freeman third. And then you got Markakis hitting fourth. Kurt Suzuki catching and hitting fifth tonight. You know, all the conversation we've been having about Ozzy Albies, and rightfully so. I mean, I think he's an MVP candidate, let alone start talking about the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bunch of guys that deserve credit. You know, you could talk about NC Arte's play as well. I mean, where does Acuna fall in? We've got to see a little bit more out of him. But, Mike, he's been a pleasant surprise. I think he's lived up to the expectation of getting to the bigs and being in the show and not falling off and struggling as of yet. But the one thing that I do know, guys, this offense is legit because we're number one in runs in the National League. We've scored over 219 runs already. We are also first in average. Team's hitting about 270.
I mean, Markakis got a chance. I mean, he'll be in the mix for the batting title.
I think so,
outright.
Too.
I mean, there's so many things to be excited about. And even like when Joey Bats hits
and
the big
– Freddie, obviously. Yeah,
oh, Freddie's just raking. That's kind of – you know, it's funny. You just kind of take that for granted. But yesterday, for instance, Joey Bautista hits that big home run to the left. And then later on in the ninth, Camargo comes in, makes a great defensive stop. Now, we talked about it with Grant McCauley. Minter still makes me nervous. I mean, I think a lot of the pitching that comes out of the bullpen for the Braves makes me nervous. But as they continue to think, if they can maintain this clip, you're going to force Liberty Media and the ownership to really make some moves. And why not, man? Well, imagine talking about the Braves in October. Something we didn't think we'd be doing for another year or two.
Yeah, it was, you know, wait till Cobb 2018. Well, it's 2018, and maybe we are on schedule or maybe a year ahead of schedule. Either way, this team is doing what they need to do. You know, the way that you score runs is you get runners in scoring position. 141 extra base hits, first in the National League. So it's beyond getting on with singles. We're getting doubles and triples, extra base hits. I mean, these are all the things that are playing out, guys. So when you watch this team, it's not a fluke. It's not like, oh, well, as Grant McCauley said, you know, well, they scored 15 runs that one time. We are first in runs, first in innings, you know, as far as 31 or 39 first inning runs. So we've scored more runs than anybody in the first inning in the National League. Our average, again, first, on base, slugging, hits, all first in the National League. Right. So that just screams that the offense is legit, and this is not a fluke.
And speaking of Grant, guys, follow Grant McCauley on Twitter. Man, he's at Grant McCauley. He posted a picture earlier of Joey Bautista taking some grounders at third base. Ron Washington obviously known for his help working with infielders to help him get better at it. So Joey Bats trying to work get some work in the hot corner before the game tonight.
Yeah, and listen, I think Bautista, he's been a nice surprise too. You know, there's no reason to rush him up out of here. He's helping you. I think, again, the veteran leadership, I think John Smoltz came on and talked to us about that a little bit, having that stabilization in the clubhouse, because this is still a very young team. You got Freddie, a couple of pitchers that have been around, but beyond that, I mean, Joey Bats is one of those guys that has been around the league and I think is well respected.
As we said, NC Arte's move in the down in the lineup has not affected his production. He's been as clutch as ever. Actually, he's helped him. And Dansby, you know, again, he's injured. We'll get Dansby back in the mix in a bit. Jeff Schultz has a blog in the AJC basically saying that, you know, Snitker deserves more than just being the temporary or the placeholder manager. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. This was an interesting situation because I didn't think that Snitker would maybe be looked upon like this. But what has happened now with the upper management, Mike, and all that played out with, you know, guys getting fired, guys leaving – All right.
Well, they was talking about Bud Black 2 years ago. They brought Ron Washington. We thought maybe he'd be here in case Snicker couldn't get the job
done. But all the guys that were making those decisions are gone.
Right. So I like, look, Snicker's a guy that initially you had all these guys that came up from Gwinnett and came up from the minors that know him. Now you got a whole new crop of guys coming up that didn't have Snicker as a minor league skipper. But so far, I mean, he's a stabilized, like, he's what you want. Stabilizing old school guy. You know, he's like Lou from Major League, basically. But now we will notice and we'll certainly spend more time paying attention to his smaller moves because they become bigger as the season gets more and more important, Carl, as we get deeper into the pennant race. And we'll see how Snicker can handle the heat if we're in that mix.
10 games over 500 for the first time since 2014. I just think when you look at the payroll, for example, the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, you know, it's exorbitant amount of money compared to what the Braves are spending. That doesn't mean we don't want them to spend, because I think, as Mike said, it's going to come a time where we need to go get some pieces. But that's the other thing. You know, when you're winning with the payroll where it is and your manager is not making $1 trillion, Mike, it's a smart play to maybe, you know, re-up and bring Snicker back. And I know some people say, well, his team is young and they're protecting him and they're winning games. It's not really what he's doing. Well, how much is a manager worth? And I've always had this conversation. In a season, does a manager worth 5 games in a season?
I mean, sometimes you could make the argument, and sometimes it happens in the NBA. And not everybody can be Casey Jones, Carl. We just simply roll the basketballs out on the court. But sometimes managers overthink things. You know, sometimes we see guys, and you saw, no, again, it was extenuating circumstances when we saw Gabe Kapler like make some unbelievably boneheaded decisions in his first weekend as a skipper. But, I mean, Snicker, do you feel sometimes he leaves pitchers in too long? Would that be the knock?
Maybe.
I mean, it's a weird dynamic.
But he's old school too.
Like anybody who's going to be a manager for the Braves is always going to have some kind of trace back to Bobby Cox the way he does his thing.
Yeah, I think old school guys are more prone to leave guys in a little bit longer. Your thoughts 404-741-0929. But guys, that is another conversation we will be having, and rightfully so. Whether you're a Snicker supporter or not, when your team is 10 games over 500, you're first in your division. People around the league are talking about you now. Potentially, as we get closer to that date, I always thought, you know, that July, late June, where's your team? It's going to be a fair conversation to say what the Braves should do moving forward with him.
But this is the argument for guys who are wondering, you know, when Schultz wrote the article, why we've talked about and why was it even a thing. Now, I think some Braves fans sometimes don't grasp all the complexities of how a manager gets to hold on to his job, Carl. But some people would say, well, why would Snicker ever be in consideration for losing his gig? No, I hadn't done anything wrong. But I'm saying now, as the pressure now, you're starting to see this team play better. There's going to come some time in a pennant race where you start to look at every move the manager makes.
And you should.
And how does he handle that? So this is also for Snicker an opportunity to show that he is the right guy for the job, because I guess the prevailing logic for some teams is once you make that turnaround and you get things cooking, then like the Cubs, you go get a Joe Maddon. Right? When you think you're on that uptick where it's time to get into the championship business.
Well, and like Joe Maddon, you know, it comes down to those critical moments where every move is the right move. And when it is, then you ultimately end up winning a World Series. It's not about talent. When you're in the playoffs, all these teams have talent. It comes down to those pitching moves, Mike, the batting lineup, who you pinch hitting for, who you're putting on to run for. You know, all those little things that you go, all right, does that really matter? It does, because it's either going to set you up for success or failure. So we haven't gotten to that point with Snicker, but you're right. That's how you lose your job.
Well, like Freddie Gonzalez. I mean, remember Freddie back in the day? Now, again, that infield fly rule against the Cardinals can't put that on Freddie, but you
That's
can.
Not his fault.
But you can. The only time you really get down to that nuts and bolts level is like this series against the Dodgers. And then those moments were too big for him, to be quite honest with you. So the good news is we're at least talking about early in the season, but the potential for the Braves to still be around at the very least at the All-Star break and hopefully at the trade deadline.
Well, Braves, by the way, picked up Snicker's option for 2018. He does not have a contract for 2019. And that's why as we move along this season, all right, the smart thing to do if you feel comfortable where this team is at, and this again, this is Alex Anthopoulos, AA, our new general manager. You feel good with where his team is at and the young players and the correspondence between them and the manager, then you sign a guy to a 2-year deal and you see where you're at in 2 years, Mike. And let's be honest, if things fall apart, you can always move on. But I think he deserves an opportunity to get some more time with his team.
I think like everybody else, whether it's Desmond Trufant or a Snitker, there's no guarantees in life, baby. You got to earn it. Now, if he does show that he's up to the task, then, yeah, you're feeling good about this. There's no reason to extend him right now. So, I mean, I haven't seen him do it in the postseason. I don't know what this guy's going to be like if we get to be where these games matter.
The reason why you extend him, though, Mike, is to your point earlier, and this is the problem, Braves fans, we want to go, well, what? If you don't feel like you're going to go out and pay a high-priced manager to come in here,
which they probably won't do,
then why wouldn't you go ahead and re-sign Snicker for a longer deal? That's the issue. Unless you feel like, hey, well, they're going to go spend $4 million on a manager. They're not. They're not.
But, as we said, I mean, there's no reason also to tie yourself down with a multi-year deal if you don't know what this guy's capable of when the chips are on the line. I mean, I can see both sides. But you're right. To Carl's point, we mentioned it earlier, this team for the last couple of years has been throwing nickels around like manhole covers. Would they be willing to go do that and get a high-price, high-profile skipper down the road?
Now, there's no rush. You're right. I mean, let it play out, right? But I do think if you want the confidence of the team and believing in the manager, and we talk about this all the time, lame duck managers, lame duck coaches. It's why Kirby Smart got a 7-year extension, guys. You know, it's not more about, well, he went to a national championship. It's more about the stability of the program mm-hmm. that when Kirby and company are out recruiting and they go, Kirby's around for 7 or 8 more years. I don't know what the other guy is. That's a big deal. And so when you're talking about potentially bringing in free agents and stability, those things matter. Who's the manager? Well, is he in his last deal? He don't even have a contract.
Yeah, but then again, you got to be able to prove you can do it. Look at the Nationals. They've gone through 3 managers in, what, 6 years?
Yeah, but they've been on the cusp of getting to the World Series.
I don't blame the Nationals for doing that because they got too much talent to not be going and winning World Series. That's why, you know, it was, you had Riggleman, you had Dusty. Who else am I thinking? There's a bunch of rogues gallery. The guy, the former Giants player. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have been rolling through there, and they've not maximized the talent. And you're right. Once you lose on your biggest star and he moves on, then guess what? You know, your window has come and gone for the Nats with all that great pitching, too.
404-741-0929. Braves Cubs tonight. Fulte on the hill. We got plenty more to get to coming up. Falcons report, guys, as we'll fill you in on the latest. It looks like Carolina's going to have a new owner, and the owner's meeting's heading to the ATL next week. What are they going to be talking about as they come to town? All the big movers and shakers in the National Football League. And Dennis Schroeder scrubs his Instagram. Now, we had this conversation a few weeks ago with Julio. I was kind of on, you know, crazy mode. Not so much with Dennis because I don't think he's going to be around. We'll get into all of that and more coming up.
Rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Is today's question number one.
All right, AT, let's get to it. Yeah, man. No, man. What you got working?
Well, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I've come to the realization that ISO ball, much like what the Rockets utilize, isn't pleasing to watch. Do you feel similar, or do you like it?
No, I hate ISO ball. And the reason is simple, because when you start talking about being able to defend the Rockets, it makes them very easy to defend. This is the playoffs. We always tell you guys, it changes in the playoffs. A Wednesday night game, Mike, in January is different than a Western Conference Finals. So, listen, it worked. It's going to get James Harden the MVP. But I don't think that's how you win in these playoffs. I just don't.
No, I mean, you know, people talk about, you know, Golden State's not – I mean, it's not that they're an elite defensive team, but they make plays, you know, and they get the transition going. You saw that last night. I just look at that, and I'm like, that is just – reminded me of, like, an old nightmare of Joe Johnson at the top of the key.
Well, you sound like my son, and I told him last night I said that was just Joe Johnson. Everybody else ran other plays as well,
right.
So it wasn't that ugly. But – we'll see what they do in game 2. The Ravens are following the lead of the Falcons in reducing concession prices at M&T Bank Stadium. Hasn't the time come for all arenas and stadiums to follow suit?
With these ticket prices? Yeah, man. I mean, it is the one attractive thing, and I got to give Arthur Blank credit for recognizing this, and we've talked with Rich McKay, president of our Falcons, as well about this. It's the one thing, Mike, we can both say, no matter where you're at in the stadium, when you go down to Mercedes-Benz, everybody's happy about the concession
price. And we talked about, like, I mean, you know, the personal seat license thing will never be popular here in Atlanta or in the rest of the country for that matter. But as I said at that Sporting KC match last week, I had a guy from Kansas City go, $2 hot dogs? Are they good? I'm like, yeah, they're great, man. Knock yourself out. You know, we take it for granted. It is cool, and I think more teams should do that. Why not? Because, you know, look, you're still going to make the money. You're still going to get people just going to be spending more time at the concession stand.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another football note for you. Late last night, news broke on the Giants and Eli Manning settling that memorabilia fraud case.
Knew that was coming.
Was that the smartest move for the Super Bowl winning QB, considering he could have been forced to testify?
Yeah, man. And for guys who don't remember this one, there was a text message, a very damning text message in this lawsuit from memorabilia dealers that he's talking to the trainer for the Giants saying, yeah, give me 2 helmets to pass his game used. Because he was going to pass that along for some auction or charity. Either way, it was bad optics for Eli. Best the Giants made that one go away.
I've been around the memorabilia business for a long time. I have some friends that do it. There's a couple of companies that are very legitimate. There's only a few great companies left around the country. There's a lot of guys who say they do it. But I will tell you, the game used stuff, that's the next level stuff.
Right.
When you talk about having a signed bat or a jersey, that's one thing. Now, when you have game used, and you see guys doing this on Sunday afternoons, whether they play together or they respect each other, you see them exchanging jerseys,
right.
And then they'll sign it, and that's a game used item. That commands a higher price. So, yeah, I mean, the Eli situation, basically you were lying. You were going to cheat a bunch of people out of money that thought that that was the case. And more importantly, I think he took the advice of his attorney and said, let's end this as quickly as possible.
Because he's making money off it, and you're already a millionaire in the NFL. So, yeah, good decision by those guys.
Hey, we all remember the Bay Area earthquake during the 1989 World Series. Well, last night, a 3.5 magnitude quake hit the area during the Giants and Reds game. Have you guys ever been or experienced an earthquake?
Not an earthquake. I've done everything else. Tornado, hurricane.
Damn.
From natural disaster standpoint. Floods.
But what are you, a superhero?
Felt like it. But not an earthquake. No, never experienced it.
I was in Los Angeles for one, but I slept through it. So apparently, yeah, I was there, Arthur, but not aware of it. But again, that's the
amazing. Was that an aftershock or something?
Something like, the aftershock of all the whiskey I drank that night. I was at the London Hotel in West Hollywood. Anyway, back to you.
All right, would you guys be interested in watching more of Alex Rodriguez on your TV? ESPN is giving him his own four-part interview series called, quote, Pivot with Alex Rodriguez, featuring interviews with current or former star athletes who are dealing with obstacles in their life and career.
Let me ask you this before I answer the question. Do you like Alex Rodriguez? And I'm not saying that, like, because there was a time where Alex Rodriguez, like, when he was with the Mariners, prior to getting the ridiculous money he got with Texas, and then obviously goes to the Yankees, but he was one of those stars that was beloved. And then it changed, Mike, right? Yeah. And he became a bad guy.
He's a pathological liar.
Okay. So do you like Rodriguez? And the reason why I ask that is because if you don't, AT, you're not watching this program. I think these kind of shows only play to people that you really enjoy and that you like. I'm going to say no, man.
Well, he hired a new PR firm a couple of years back, and this is all part of, and we were talking about this, Sam and I, off the air, part of his rehabilitation effort to get into Cooperstown. And part of that is painting himself as a more likable personality that eventually win over enough people, really get the votes. Look, no one debates what the guy did between the lines, but when you dogged and you called people out for, oh, this is ridiculous, you know, when you point your finger at people the way, well, Rafael Palmeiro did and Roger Clemens, it's disingenuous. Now I'm supposed to believe that A-Rod is a likable, believable guy? I don't buy it.
Once he said what he said about Derek Jeter, I was done with it.
Well, see?
Hey, today is National Chocolate Chip Day.
What?
So where do you prefer your chocolate chips, ice cream or cookies?
Ooh. It's a tricky question, A.T.
Ooh,
man. It's a tricky question.
I'm an Entenmann's chocolate chip cookie man. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I just made some chocolate chip cookies last night. Didn't even know they were in the freezer. And then I was like,
thanks for bringing them to work.
Well, there were only five, and I hate three. But where do I like my – I like them in ice cream, man. I do. I don't eat cookies all the time, but I prefer my chocolate chips.
I like
ice cream.
Make the mouth microwave, where you put the cookie, like three-quarters of the cookie in your mouth, and go and hold your breath, and it warms up the cookie and softens it. It's just something I do with Chips Ahoy. Call me crazy, call me a freak. It's just something I enjoy.
Soft Chips Ahoy?
No, I mean, you can get those, too. That's cheating. I like to get the regular Chips Ahoy.
Okay.
The reduced fat, because obviously, Carl, they're so much more healthier for you. But, yeah, Arthur, anywhere I can get a chocolate chip, with or without milk or ice cream, yes, please.
All right. Finally, Carl, get ready. I don't know if you heard this morning, but ESPN and Netflix are teaming up for a 10-hour documentary on who? The greatest of all time, Michael Jordan.
Oh,
how long is it?
10 hours.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, and
how much more do we not know about
Arthur,
this guy?
Does it come with 3D glasses?
And the great one will participate in this project.
Well, of course he will.
So,
nice. It's only a 10-part episode of a Michael Jordan.
Wait, is the roof the ceiling on this, Arthur? Or are there going to be more DVDs?
So my question to you both, will you watch?
Every minute, every hour. Matter of fact, I know Becky knows what to get me for Christmas. Makes a nice stocking stuffer.
I have heard through the grapevine, I don't start rumors, I just talk about them once they're out, that LeBron's 12-parter is coming out very soon.
What?
He will have a 12-part series.
When his record is 3-9 in the finals?
12-parter documenting from being the chosen one. Listen, of course I'm going to watch, man. Here's the thing, though, and I'm being serious. I've read all the books when it comes to Michael Jordan.
We've seen all the videos from NBA Entertainment.
What more can there be?
Interviewed him. I was a guy that was covering the league at that time. I got to be honest. I don't know what more I can find out about Michael Jordan that will make this interesting enough for me to give it 10 hours.
But, you and I talk about this all the time when we get into that LeBron versus Jordan thing. Remember now, 96, that's over 20 years ago.
Sure.
So it's the thing. Arthur's reading it, too. The Tiger Woods book. I spent, hours now going on to TV on YouTube and watching Tiger hitting the shot at the Canadian Open, watching him hitting the shot at the Masters, winning at Torrey Pines. You forget, you know, so you revisit some of that stuff and you forget just how amazing it was.
Here's the thing for me, though, AT. It's in case you missed it, or excuse me, it's a Yeah Man, No Man with AT coming up, Falcon Report. I don't need this to just be a bunch of highlights.
Right.
That's my point. And I don't need Mike analyzing his highlights. I really want some real dirt, some backstory. Well, hey, man, why you smack Paxton in the face?
Well,
you
here's
know?
The thing. We haven't heard from him much outside of the
– Well, him too.
outside of the Hall of Fame speech. Right. He really doesn't do many interviews, so it'll be interesting to see what he brings forth with
this. You agree with me, though? I mean, can we get some real behind-the-scenes – like, I want to – in that kind of time in a 10-parter, I got to walk away and go, wow. There is so much more I learned.
That's you want. Same thing. I'm with you 100%, man. Give me something. You know, sometimes you watch those 30 for 30s. You're like, well, there's 90 minutes of my life I can't get back. You want to get some new juice.
No doubt. AT, great job. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report. Owners meeting's coming. It looks like we're going to have a new owner in our division and with the Carolina Panthers.
And we've added a safety. Somebody made an impression at rookie camp. We'll explain who that guy is.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.